Tonight was the final episode of Raw before Clash at the Castle this Saturday in Scotland, and it also doubled as apparently Ricochet's final night on WWE television. The reports were true. We've been hearing it now for several days. Ricochet not renewing his deal with WWE, which is up sometime this summer. We don't know exactly when his deal is up. We only know that it'll be sometime in the next couple of months. But he is not re-signing. That was first broken last week by Mike Johnson on PWInsider.com that Ricochet had made the decision to leave. And PW Insider is the same website that earlier today said that the plan was for tonight to be Ricochet's final night on TV. And indeed, it sure looked like it was. I suppose there's always a possibility that the two sides could come to some kind of a deal at the 11th hour. They could work something out. Anything's possible. He's not a free man yet, but it does not look like that is going to happen. And the only question was, how are they going to write this man off of TV? I think most people probably would have expected that we were going to get a murder on television tonight. So we had Bron Breakker against Ilya Dragunov, which was a match I was very much looking forward to. Apparently, the people in Toledo, Ohio were not looking forward to this match, but I was. And they had a hell of a match. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. Because Ricochet has told Ilya Dragunov, I got your back. And Ricochet has had his issues of late with Bron Breakker. And sure enough, when the match is over, there's Ricochet. And I'm just waiting. And Ricochet sends Bron Breakker packing. And I said, that can't be it. Surely that will not be the final time that we see Ricochet here on this television show. And they did not disappoint, because a little bit later on, they ended up in the parking lot, and poor Ricochet got to play the role of Rey Mysterio being lawn darted into a giant truck. Only I think he took this bump even worse than Rey did. But that wasn't all, because Ricochet, not only did he get lawn darted into the side of a truck, but he got power slammed through a windshield. It's a good thing CM Punk was not backstage. Or he might have had a few things to say about that. So Ricochet got real glass in his send-off. And you know what? In terms of send-offs on TV, I think it worked out well for all involved. I think that if I were leaving the company and I had the opportunity to give my two cents on how I would like to be written out of the show, you know, it's kind of like being in a TV show or a movie. If I were an actor and I had the right to pick the role that I wanted to be in, I would want to get killed on the way out. Like, I would want, it's like Liv Morgan, right? She was on that episode of Chucky last year. She's a big Chucky fan. She thought it was the coolest thing to go appear on Chucky and get killed off by the doll. Now, if you're a Chucky fan, of course, every Chucky fan would love to be in a movie or a Chucky TV show and get killed. If I were on a TV show, I would just, like, come up with the most insane way you could possibly write me off the show. So, you know what? Ricochet got a memorable send-off, and what's even better about it is it puts over Bron Breakker as even more of a monster than he was coming into the show tonight. And kudos to Samantha Irvin, because I'm going to talk about her when we get to that part. She played a part in this also. Samantha Irvin was also an integral part of the angle that they shot on this show tonight. But Ricochet is likely going to end up in AEW. Right, nobody knows right now except for Ricochet himself what his plans are, where he's going to end up, what promotions, you know, that he might be interested in working for. As I said on the podcast this weekend, you know, my guess is wherever he lands, he's going to have the freedom to work independent. He's going to have the freedom to work wherever he wants. And we're going to get to see the Ricochet of old. You know, we're going to see a side of Ricochet that we haven't seen in a very long time. And, you know, if he's somebody who looks at the landscape and says, hey, this may be my last chance to get out there and work with some of these people and to remind people of who the hell I am, then good on him. You know, it was now or never. You know, it was either take that chance now or get locked into a long-term deal for 3 to 5 years. And Ricochet decided that it was time to go. And I wish him well, and I'm sure he's going to kill it wherever he goes. But speaking of killing, Bron Breakker was the one doing the killing on this show here tonight. The other big development on this show, outside of the end of Ricochet, we had Drew McIntyre and Finn Balor in a main event match on this show with a stipulation that if McIntyre were to win, then the Judgment Day would be banned from ringside for his World Heavyweight title match with Damian Priest this Saturday at Clash at the Castle. And if Priest were to, or Balor rather, were to win, then Priest would be allowed to have the entire Judgment Day at ringside to watch his match. The Judgment Day will not be ringside for Clash at the Castle on Saturday. And that doesn't seem to bode very well for Drew McIntyre, because there is a certain someone waiting in the wings. He's been laying very low. You notice we have not had a CM Punk appearance on this television show in several weeks. Haven't even really mentioned him all that much. I mean, the crowd does every week. They chant his name. McIntyre still talks about him here and there in his promos. But I went from being convinced that McIntyre was going to win that title this weekend to now, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure what to think. There is one element to this that still has me thinking McIntyre is going to walk out as the World Heavyweight Champion, because it's just something where I can't imagine that Triple H would do this. I'll tell you what that is later. And we'll see how it goes. But I'm less confident now than I was 24 hours ago about McIntyre's chances at Clash at the Castle. And speaking of Clash at the Castle, I should mention this, and I assume he misspoke, but Michael Cole, while running down the card for the event on Saturday, he talked about the WWE title being defended in an I Quit match. Cody Rhodes is going to be defending against AJ Styles. Well, as he was running down the card and he mentioned that match, Michael Cole said, and I quote, that the winner of this match will be the man who is, you know, basically left standing, in so many words, he said, left standing, the man who can't respond to the 10 count, can't get back up and respond to the 10 count, will lose, the other man will win. And he said this, and I'm sitting here and I'm going, what? Did the stipulation of this match change and they just didn't update the graphic? Like, what? So he described the last man standing match. I assume he must have misspoke, because those are definitely not the rules of an I Quit match. It's not a great night for Michael Cole. Between that and the fact that he mistook Rey Mysterio for Dragon Lee for about 15 seconds, I think this guy is in need of a vacation. I know that feeling well, because I need one too, but I think Michael Cole may need to take some time off. And the countdown is on. For weeks now, we have been getting these QR codes, we've been getting these glitches on all of the WWE television shows. We know that Uncle Howdy is on his way. We don't know where, we don't know when. Every time somebody thinks they have it figured out, oh, he's going to be a King of the Ring, and then he wasn't at King of the Ring. Oh, he's going to be on Raw this week, and he wasn't on Raw this week. There was another QR code tonight. And this QR code takes you to this video that you see here, this countdown that you see here on your screen. You released, or you refused, salvation. The reckoning is inevitable. And that is a countdown clock. It is counting down to next Monday. So Uncle Howdy and the Wyatt clan are on their way. And Raw next Monday appears to be the destination. That's the good news. Because whether you are into this stuff or not, I'm just happy that we're going to get rid of the QR codes and the glitches, because it's already run its course. So whatever the next big development in this story is going to be, I'm genuinely curious to see how this all plays out, but I'm glad it's finally happening. That's the good news. The bad news is that Raw next Monday is in Corpus Christi, Texas. I thought Raw was in Corpus Christi tonight, the way this crowd responded to some of these matches. But of all the places to do this reveal, if in fact it is taking place next Monday, Corpus Christi, Texas. Come on now. Really? I'm sure there are fine people. I have listeners in Corpus Christi. For whatever reason, when you get them all together in a building for a WWE event, They're zombified. Hopefully they have a little life to them next week. They're going to do the big reveal there. There were some developments on the show as far as the Bron Breakker, Dragunov, Ricochet stuff. They played things out for the PLE on Saturday as far as the Drew McIntyre Judgment Day story, the Sami Zayn, Chad Gable Alpha Academy story. You know, there were some key things that happened on the show. As a whole, this was not a terribly exciting episode of Raw. This was not a great show. At least as far as keeping my interest. Not one of the better Raws, but the key stuff I thought was good enough, and we're going to cover all of it here, because it is all about Clash at the Castle, but this is your Monday Night Raw review for June 10th, 2024. I am the Solo Monster.
Off is the direction you can fuck.
That's right. That's what WWE said to Ricochet tonight. Off is the direction you can fuck. Thanks for coming, Ricochet. Like and subscribe. Got the new $12 super chat added the other day if you want to play around with that. I also have to give a quick plug here. For those of you who may have missed it, if you are a channel member, you got a treat. Because I went and recorded nearly half an hour an NXT Battleground review after last night's NXT show from the UFC Apex. Very interesting show, so if you want my thoughts on that, it is exclusively for channel members. It is up right now. I know some people sometimes don't get the notifications, so if you didn't, you can go check that out after I'm done here. And if you are not a channel member, now would be a great time to become one. Shout out to all of our skulls. 12 months is all of our red skulls. 24 months, gold. 36 months, green. I don't think we have any blue skulls. That would be 48 months and above, but you can become a channel member at any time, and I thank you for doing so. But yes, go ahead and check out that NXT review talking about Jordynne Grace and Roxanne Perez making history last night. Ethan Page making his in-ring NXT debut. We have a new NXT North American Women's Champion as well. So you can go check that out. The number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship this Saturday, Drew McIntyre, was out to the ring to open the show tonight. Didn't really even have a chance to say anything. He was almost instantly interrupted by the Judgment Day, minus Dominic Mysterio. He was the only one who didn't come out. So it was Damian Priest, Finn Balor, and JD McDonagh. Although I don't think Carlito wasn't out there either, although he was all over the show with them in every other segment. So the fans gave Priest the what treatment? We saw them do this to Piper Niven on SmackDown last week. Ruined the entire promo. Damian Priest here just ignored it, kept going. But they were giving him the what treatment because I guess sadly the brain-eating amoebas that you've heard about in certain states like Florida, sometimes they're in the water, Texas, you've heard about it there. Apparently it's traveled to Toledo, Ohio. It's been eating away at people's brains. Hence the what chance. So Priest said that McIntyre made it personal by suggesting that he needs the Judgment Day in order to be the World Heavyweight Champion. Uncle Howdy is a jobber, says Anis. Man hasn't even debuted yet. Already he's getting heat. He's being called a jobber. How about we wait and see how this is all going to play out before we trash the entire thing. Just a thought. I may end up trashing it myself, but I'm going to give it a chance to play out first before I prejudge the entire storyline. Because more so, you know what? We haven't seen Dexter Lumis, we haven't seen Nikki Cross and some of these people in a very long time. Joe Gacy apparently is being called up. Let's give it a shot. See how it all turns out. So Priest said that he was heading into McIntyre's territory this weekend in front of his people and would still put him down. He said that as much as he loves his crew, he doesn't need the Judgment Day or anybody else to be the champion. He said, I am the champion because I'm Damian Priest. McIntyre said that it's the same old speech. He doesn't give a damn what Priest has to say. He said, the only chance that Priest has are the idiots that walked out to the ring with him. Priest suggested that McIntyre face Finn Balor tonight, with the stipulation being that the Judgment Day would be banned from ringside at Clash at the Castle if he was to lose the match. But if Balor wins, then the Judgment Day gets the honor and privilege, in his words, of being at ringside to watch him beat Drew McIntyre in McIntyre's home country. So McIntyre said that he has to respect the man for digging his own grave. He said he would be the world heavyweight champion by this time next week. And that was the end of that. So a basic segment, but with the added hook for the Judgment Day's involvement on Saturday. Will they or won't they? That was to lead into the main event where we would get that answer. And I was also wondering, would CM Punk cost McIntyre the match tonight? I thought there was at least a small chance he might show up even on Raw tonight and force, you know, McIntyre into a loss, which would result in the Judgment Day being there on Saturday, but would also make it more likely that Drew would win at Clash at the Castle. But there was no CM Punk on tonight's show. We went backstage. We were inside the Judgment Day clubhouse. Liv Morgan was there. As Dominic Mysterio walked in, Dom walked in, he saw her, and he starts going, no, 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 no. And Liv is laughing. He's acting like he doesn't want to see. Of course he does, but, you know, he's got to pretend, because otherwise Rhea will beat him up, which he might like, I don't know. But he's acting like he doesn't want to see her. And Liv says, look, I know that you are supposed to hate me right now, but I would really like to see you again. And Dom said that he didn't want to have anything to do with her. Liv said that a gorgeous man like you shouldn't be with a woman who makes him call her mommy. He should be with a woman who isn't afraid to call him daddy. And she left him her hotel key card before leaving. And actually, I should be a little more specific here. She left her hotel room card or key card down his pants. And then, after she walked away, he took the card and he slammed it down onto the table. Yeah, I wrote here, he slammed it down onto the table after talking about his pants. I had to specify the card. He slammed the key card onto the table. This room key card would become a recurring story here on the show in multiple segments tonight. So we're going to come back to this. But this man had an incredible amount of self-control here. We had a Queen of the Ring tournament rematch, pitting Bird Girl Lyra Valkyria one-on-one against Io Sky, who had Kairi Sane and Dakota Kai in her corner. I enjoyed their first match, Io Sky and Lyra Valkyria. Their first match, if you remember, they went 20 minutes. That was in the semifinals of the Queen of the Ring. They did not go 20 minutes here. In fact, they had half the amount of time. But this was really good. There was a moonsault attempt by Io that was avoided by Lyra, who went for a flash roll-up for a near fall. Valkyria hit Io with her Nightwing finish, but she was so close to the ropes. Dakota Kai broke up the count without the referee even seeing it. Valkyria got up, not very happy about the interference, and she hit a dropkick through the ropes that wiped out both Dakota and Kairi out on the floor. So she went to the top. Io, though, got up and crotched her and then followed up with a Meteora in the corner. She crotched her and then she fell down in the corner. So then she hit the Meteora. Io went up top, went for her over the moonsault, but Lyra got her knees up. She tried again for Nightwing, but Io yanked on her hair, got a crucifix, and took her over and pinned her. So Lyra won the first one. Io got the win here in the rematch. After the match was over, Dakota and Kairi get in the ring. They're attacking Lyra. Io is joining them in the assault. And then it looked like they were leaving. Io went back to the ring and she starts beating up on this girl again. And Kairi and Dakota had a look on their face like, what do we do here? You know, Io's been a little unhinged over the last few weeks. So even they looked like they were taken aback by what they were seeing. Caden Carter and Katana Chance ran out to make the save, and Io told the rest of Damage Control at that point it was time to back off, and they left the ring. So Lyra continues to put in solid performances. You know, there are some weeks where the crowd feels a little more invested than others. Sometimes they're quiet. Sometimes they're a little more, energetic for her matches. But her work is rock solid. She's already had a bunch of really good matches so far on TV. Io, like I said, gets her win back from the Queen of the Ring. And now we've got ourselves a six-woman tag team match on tap. You know, whenever they're ready to do it. I didn't recognize if they announced it for next week, but if not next week, that should be coming up very soon. And we were not done with Damage Control either. We'll get to them a little bit later on. The Miz was backstage. He was looking for his tag team partner. He was looking for R-Truth. Bumped into Sami Zayn and said, "Have you seen him?" And Sami said, "No, I haven't." So Miz left. Sami starts walking down the hallway. He comes upon Maxxine Dupri and Tozawa. And he goes over to them and he apologizes for everything that happened last week. And he asks Maxxine, "Are you okay? Is your ankle okay?" Because she had her foot in a boot. Remember, she got knocked off the apron last week inadvertently. So she's in a walking boot now. So he wants to know if they're okay. Otis walks in. And Sammy's like, "I guess that's my cue to leave." Because he and Otis have a non-title match on the show tonight. And Otis stops him and says, "Sami, wait." And he says, he tries to apologize for what he did to him last week when he gave him that world's strongest slam. He says, "I just lost it." And Sami said that he understood Otis's plight. And then Otis talked about how he has lost everything. This man has lost everything in his life. He said he lost his peach, which is a reference to Mandy Rose. He lost his Tucky. Remember Tucky? Remember Heavy Machinery? Once upon a time? So he lost Tucker, and he lost his Money in the Bank briefcase. He said that without them, he was nothing. And Chad Gable brought him in. He brought him new meaning. He says, "Maxxine is my sister. Tozawa is my brother." Sami said that Otis didn't have to keep taking Gable's abuse. Told him to think hard about it, and he left Otis and the Academy to their thoughts. We return to the Judgment Day clubhouse. And Damian Priest enters the clubhouse and he wonders, what's going on with this hotel card, this key card that I keep hearing about from Liv Morgan? He wants to know what's going on there. So the card in question has now gone missing at this point. Okay, they don't know where the card is. Priest is wondering where it's disappeared to. Dominic acted like he didn't know. That fucking card jumped back in his pants and told him, "You better not mess this up." That's what that card did. "You better get your ass out of here and you better get your ass to that hotel." I think that card took on a life of its own. We got a Ludwig Kaiser video package with him talking about how he beat Sheamus last week and how he deserved to be on top, and anybody who dared to oppose him would be eliminated. And he also made reference to being in the Money in the Bank ladder match this year. So they did mention on the show tonight that the qualifying matches for Money in the Bank kick off next week. So after Clash at the Castle, the build begins right away to Money in the Bank. Safe bet that Kaiser will end up being in that match. We had Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, and Braun Strowman against Carlito, JD McDonagh, and Dominic Mysterio, who had his elbow all wrapped up. This was his first match in 2 months. His first match since April 15th. Carlito tried to attack Strowman, but he got beeled halfway across the ring for his troubles. Carlito then tagged in Dominic. Rey tagged in, so we were about to get father and son. Once Rey tagged in, though, Dom immediately tagged out to McDonagh. And this was the point in the match, I mentioned this earlier, where Michael Cole mistook Rey Mysterio for Dragon Lee. Now, they were wearing similar colors, although, you know, their masks aren't exactly the same. You know, Dragon Lee has the sash, or whatever you want to call it, on the back. But Michael Cole was just continuing to talk about Dragon Lee, even though Rey Mysterio is in the ring. And it took him a good 10 to 12 seconds before he realized, "Oh, that's Rey Mysterio, I'm sorry." Yeah, I was wondering how long it was going to take for him to realize that he was talking about the wrong guy. So the heels worked over Rey for a while. He tried to mount a comeback on Carlito, but that got extinguished. Carlito punched Dragon Lee. He was out on the apron. He punched him in the face. Mysterio again created some separation, finally allowed him to try to tag in Braun Strowman, but McDonagh and Dominic were there. They pulled Strowman down from the apron and then rammed him backwards into the barricade. Eventually, Ray planted, and when I say planted, I mean he absolutely planted J.D. McDonagh with a DDT. That gave him time to tag in Dragon Lee. Lee got Carlito trapped at a tree of woe and stomped him off the top. Dominic drop-kicked his deadbeat father to the outside. And then suddenly, Dom is standing there, and his attention is diverted to something that we can't see initially. It's off camera. But then we see that it's Liv Morgan, and she is on the apron. So Dom went to the floor, and he tried to, you know, basically shoo her away like a mosquito. A sexy blonde mosquito. When Zelina Vega attacked Liv, she nailed Liv from behind, knocked her off the apron. Of course, she collides with Dominic. She lands on top of him. He's on the ground. She is now mounting Dominic Mysterio in the aisleway. I think I saw there's a little kid, I think, in the front row, like right on the edge of the aisle, just kind of looking over at this, probably wondering, like, what's going to happen here? So she's sitting on top of him. She's starting to, like, caress him and stroke him. Not that part of him, but, like, you know, yeah, whatever. She's caressing him or whatever. She's into him, right? She's all about Dom. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, man, Rhea Ripley is going to murder this woman. Rhea Ripley may murder both of them. If there's one person on the roster that Bron Breakker fears, it's Rhea Ripley. So this woman had lust in her eyes. But Zelina Vega came over, went outside, pulled her off of him. They started fighting before they got pulled apart. Meanwhile, Bron Breakker, or not Bron Breakker, I mentioned Bron Breakker. Braun Strowman. Got my bees mixed up there. Braun Strowman rises from the dead. He looks half dead. He's like stumbling to his feet. He gets back to an upright position. I'm sure Dom laying on the ground, he too was in an upright position. I mean, who wouldn't be? But he gets up and he sees all the members of the Judgment Day are scattered around outside, and that could only mean one thing. Oh, yes. That means the Strowman Express is back in service. And so Braun does a lap around the ring. He barrels through Dominic. He knocks through J.D. McDonagh. He shoulder tackles Carlito. He knocks all of them down one by one in the ring. Hits a running power slam, followed by Dragon Lee leaping off of Strowman's shoulders for a splash onto Carlito to give the LWO the win. Now, I know this bothers some people that Carlito is basically a jobber on this show. I mean, that's the role that he is in. That's the role that he was designated for. His role is not to be a featured guy who's going to get over on their younger talent. He's not somebody who's going to be pushed to a title. You know, this is what he's on the show to do. It was pretty clear from the moment they signed him that they weren't really planning on doing anything significant with him, although he's gotten significant TV time over the last couple of weeks. I'm sure he doesn't mind being in four or five different segments on the same show. That'd be fine with me, too, if they wanted to put me in that many segments. We got a video package highlighting Ilya Dragunov, who called Bron Breakker the Golden Child. Dragunov said that he would make Breakker suffer. So that was the Ilya Dragunov video package. Now we come back live, and in the back we got our first, but not our last, our first of three Ricochet sightings on this show. Ricochet tells Dragunov that he knows what he's capable of, and he knew that he would show Bron Breakker tonight what he's all about. Dragunov said that he would slay the monster, and then he and Ricochet could have another round once he was finished with Bron Breakker. And Ricochet said, "You read my mind," and he said that he was going to have his back later tonight. You know, I've watched movies before. You know how when you watch a movie, there's always that one character that you know is going to die. You don't know how necessarily, but you just know, right? A lot of horror movies are like that. But there's always that one character. That was Ricochet on this show. I knew that this man's fate was sealed. I just didn't know how bad it was going to be. I didn't know what they were going to do. But I knew it was coming. It's that feeling of dread. Elsewhere, Damage Control was in the back. Dakota Kai asked Io Sky, what happened out there? You know, again, it was like Io lost her head. She was going mad. She wants to know, are you okay? What's going on here? And Io said that she took care of it. And then she screams out in frustration. It looks like she's pulling her hair out. And then she said that Damage Control has to change as she walked off. Now, it actually sounded like she said Damage Control hostage. But if you really listen closely, she said Damage Control needs to change. So does that mean that somebody is going to be exiting the Judgment Day or Damage Control? Somebody will be exiting the Judgment Day very soon. His name is Damian Priest. But is somebody going to be leaving Damage Control and going babyface? Or is that a reference to them potentially adding somebody? Now, Asuka just had knee surgery. She tweeted out photos. She's going to be out for a while. Are they looking for a new member? You know, if so, I don't know who that would be. Julia's coming in soon, but she's going to be exclusive to NXT as far as her WWE stuff. And she won't even be full-time initially. So it's not her. I don't know what that means, but clearly change of some kind is coming to Damage Control, and honestly, it's needed. It's needed a change for a while. We had the Intercontinental Champion, Sami Zayn, on his way out to the ring to deliver a promo before his match against Otis. Zayn told the fans who were chanting his name, that was very nice. You're being very nice to me. He thanked them for it. He said he needed that because it's been a messed up couple of weeks for him. And Zayn talked about defending his title against Chad Gable at Clash at the Castle. He said that something so personal got turned into something that he can't quite describe after all of Gable's machinations and manipulations of Alpha Academy. He said that on Saturday, he was going to defeat Gable and put an end to all of this, and that brought out Chad Gable. Came out with Otis, he came out with Maxine, and he came out with Tozawa. Gable said that it was typical of Sammy to attempt to tear down what he's built while making himself the sympathetic figure in someone else's story. He said the Academy trusts their master and his methods. Gable told Sammy to wait and see just how happy the others would be when he takes that title away from him on Saturday. Zayn asked if Gable is out of his mind. Are you crazy? And he looked over at Maxine and said, are you happy? Looked over at Tozawa and Otis and said the same thing. Are you happy? They didn't look happy. Zayn said Gable doesn't care about them and whether they're happy, but the people do. Sammy said that the crew would not be happy until they leave Gable once and for all. Gable said Sammy doesn't understand that they're a family. And he said that the trio would be with him on Saturday, but tonight he was unleashing his version of Otis on Sammy. And Gable said that it would be the most brutal and ruthless version of Otis that Sami Zayn has ever seen. And so, after a break, it was Sami Zayn one-on-one with Otis. Surprisingly short. This only went 90 seconds. Otis was battering him in the corner. Gable was barking out orders from ringside. Otis went for a running splash. Gable ordered him to do it again, so he did it a second time. Gable ordered him to do it a third time, and he hesitated. So Gable got up on the apron. He's shouting at Otis. He called him an idiot. He's telling him to listen to him. As Gable turns his back to go walk back down the steps, Otis has his back turned, and so he didn't see that Sami Zayn was setting up for a haluva kick. So he got caught with a kick. He went down, and Sami got the pin. And that was it. Just like that. Not much of a match. When it was over, Gable attacked Zayn, picked him up, held him for Otis to hit him. Otis hesitated. Now, we've seen this story play out many times before. Otis is having this crisis in his mind. He doesn't know what to do. He's pacing back and forth. So Gable lets go of Zayn. He goes up to Otis. He's yelling at him, and he smacks him right across the face. Not once, but twice. Slaps this man hard across the face. Now, Otis's leg is starting to twitch. He's starting to hulk up, and Gable could see what's going on. Now, Sammy has gotten himself in position behind Gable. He's pulled himself up in the corner, so you can kind of see where the spot is going. And Otis is back his turn. So now he's all fired up. He turns around, charges in. Gable moves out of the way. Otis keeps running, and he squashes Sammy in the corner and then pulls Sammy out of the corner into a World's Strongest Slam, the same move that he hit last week. Gable then tried to stand side by side with Otis, but Otis did the Undertaker quick head turn. Remember, Undertaker used to be looking this way, and then he would snap his head like that? That's what Otis did to Gable. Now the crowd is starting to come alive because they're thinking, oh, this may be it. This may finally be it, right? You got people in the crowd, literally, they have signs that say free Otis, right? They're dying for this man to finally break out on his own, break free of this man's spell, and beat the crap out of him. Gable starts begging off. He backs into the corner. He's cowering in the corner. Don't hit me, don't hit me. And Otis, he cocks his fist. He picks his fist up in the air like he's going to hit him. And then he turns away. Can't do it. Can't bring himself to do it. His only friend in the world. His coach. You heard him. He lost everything. He lost Mandy Rose. He lost Tucky. He lost his money in the bank briefcase. You know, he lost his phone. He lost his wallet. He lost everything. Can't bring himself to strike Chad Gable. Turns away and the fans boo. And that was the segment. This was the weakest of all the segments they've done, because really this was a rehash of what we've already seen a few times by this point. You know, again, the crowd is into it because they have really done a good job of building sympathy up for these Alpha Academy characters and Otis more than anybody else. And every week people just think, okay, this is going to be the night, we're going to get to see it, and then they don't give it to them. But clearly they are really setting things up for the show on Saturday. Something is going to happen with Otis. The only thing we don't know is this going to be the moment that Otis hits Gable, or is this going to be something where Otis reacts and it backfires and Gable wins? He doesn't intend to help him win, but he does, and that's how Gable wins the Intercontinental title. And Otis is still conflicted because, well, he didn't mean to do that. It's going to be one or the other. We just don't know which finish they're going to go with. Mike Johnson had an update. You know, I keep talking about Ricochet and him leaving WWE and his contract status. Chad Gable is another one whose contract either is about to be up or was up this past week with WWE. And I can't imagine if it was that he's working without a contract. If anything, he would have signed maybe a short extension. But his deal is also up. And the company has been, you know, trying to secure his services. There's a lot of interest outside of WWE in Chad Gable, as well there should be, even from MMA promotions. If he were to become a free agent, he's going to have a lot of interest. It doesn't sound like they're going to get the chance, because according to Mike Johnson, there was an update on PW Insider earlier today. The belief within WWE is that it is either very, very close, or it's already happened, that Chad Gable is about to or has signed a new deal with the company. Pretty much everybody they spoke with in the company believes that it's a done deal. Whether pen has been put to paper or not, Chad Gable is going to be staying with WWE. And if that's the case, that's a big pickup for them. You know, I know some people may look at him and Ricochet and all these people and say, oh, they're small, who cares, right? Who cares? Not a big loss, right? Not a big loss. These are the same people that when we find out that Chad Gable has re-signed with WWE, Chad, Bubby, welcome back. And they're going to be so happy that he is still with WWE. The minute they find out that he's going somewhere else, you're dead to me. That's how it works. Fickle fans. I'm happy, though, that Chad Gable is going to stick around because this man deserves to win that Intercontinental title. They've been playing this out now for almost a year. He's been trying to get his hands on that title, and it would be a sin for him to leave now, and this entire time, he ends up never winning a singles title in this company. So now we should be welcoming our future Intercontinental Champion. It's not a matter of if at this point. It should be more so a matter of when. I said this in my predictions that I did, and they're up on the channel right now. If you want my Clash of the Castle predictions, I did a whole segment on this. It could happen this weekend. Very easily, he could walk out of Scotland as the new champion. I would be tempted. What I proposed and predicted is Chad's going to win the match on Saturday, but not the title. And it's going to involve Otis, who gets involved, but it leads to a DQ. And the fans may not want to see a DQ, but the fans are getting Drew McIntyre in the main event. That's what they're there for. Okay, so they're gonna get their big main event. You do a DQ finish, Chad wins, and so that enables him to get one more crack at the title. Hold it off until Money in the Bank. I'm not even saying SummerSlam. Just Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank is in Toronto. I know Toronto's not his hometown, but Sammy is, you know, he's a Canadian boy. Imagine the heat if Chad Gable were to finally win this title by beating Sami Zayn in Canada. Right? It's like, it'd be so perfect. So, not that I would mind if he won this weekend. I'm going to be happy either way. But if they could just hold off another 3 weeks and do it at Money in the Bank, I think it would make for an even bigger moment. But he's bringing home the gold, and hopefully soon enough, we will see Gable and the Creeds united. So The Miz is looking for R-Truth, like he's a dog. Have you seen my dog back here somewhere? He's been looking for this guy the entire show. Miz spots Sonya Deville. She's standing in the hallway having a conversation with Natalya, another star on the roster whose contract is up very soon and has not yet signed a new deal. So Sonya says, he went by here, but that was earlier. And so finally he finds R-Truth. And Truth says that we have a title match tonight against the APA, Farouk and Bradshaw. Of course, he was referring to AOP. He said that that was according to a fortune teller that he found. Scarlett turned out to be that fortune teller. And Scarlett shows up, tells Truth that it was a pleasure reading you your fortune. And she hands Miz the tarot card of death. You know how I know that? Because it literally said death on the card. And she said that AOP looks forward to seeing them in the ring tonight. And Truth ended the segment by saying, we're going to die tonight. No, Truth, no. Ricochet is going to die tonight. You're okay. It's poor Ricochet who was not going to make it out of the show in one piece. Michael Cole announced that Cody Rhodes, the WWE champion, undisputed, although I still don't know what that means anymore. What does that mean? We have a World Heavyweight Championship match in the main event on Saturday. Why are we still calling this the undisputed title? But Cody Rhodes is going to appear on NXT tomorrow night. He's got a surprise of some kind. Getting ready for that big CW debut this fall. You got to start bringing up more main roster guys. You know, as the closer we get to October, you're going to see Cody. You're going to see Roman Reigns at the Performance Center. It's going to be ridiculous. Maybe they'll bring The Undertaker back. Cole congratulated Kalani Jordan for becoming the first NXT Women's North American Champion. They showed footage of her win in the ladder match last night. If you want my thoughts on that match, that's part of my NXT Battleground review up on the channel for channel members. We had Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill were there, the women's tag team champions. They took a seat at ringside to watch and scout their opponents on Saturday. Isla Dawn started the match by drop kicking Baszler right in her injured knee that was hurt in her NXT Underground match. That was another match on the card last night. It was her against Lola Vice. Dawn and Fire, they had the upper hand on Zoe Stark after a while. She fought back and flattened Isla with a clothesline, tried to go for a tag to Baszler, but Shayna was down. There was nobody to tag. Alba and Isla hit a double team move on Zoe as Baszler finally returned. She got tagged in. Baszler stomped on Alba's shoulder. Ultimately, she got the Kirifuda clutch locked on and put Alba to sleep for the ref stoppage. She held on to the clutch, though, for another 10 seconds or so before she finally let go of the hold. At least they gave Shayna Baszler a win. You know, Shayna Baszler went to NXT last night. She was at the UFC Apex on that show, and she put over Lola Vice, as she should, because, again, you know, you have main roster talent on that show. Unless it's like Seth Rollins went to NXT once to defend his title. You're not going to have Seth Rollins lose. You're not going to have Cody Rhodes lose. But if you're going to use main roster mid-card talent like the Good Brothers and Natalya and Shayna Baszler and Meechan and these different people, they should be there to help put over the younger developmental talent. Shayna Baszler went in there. She put over Lola Vice. She actually, I think, what was it, a knockout? I think Michael Cole said officially it was a knockout decision because she was raining blows down upon her in the match last night, and the ref dove in and stopped it. So it was a stoppage. Both women have legitimate MMA experience. We know Shayna does. But she went in there and she did the job. We know she's doing the job in Scotland on Saturday. So at least they threw her a bone here and said, all right, we'll give you a win on TV. So at least she got a win here. But I'll tell you something. If this match was supposed to get me excited for this triple threat match on Saturday, this did not do the trick. And it didn't do the trick for the people in the building either, because they were totally cold on this entire match. They were cold on the next match, too. And I don't know why, because I thought this was fucking great, but we had Bron Breakker one-on-one with Ilya Dragunov. They had a hell of a match. Dead crowd, but they had a hell of a match, I thought. We got a This Is Awesome chant at one point. It was the weakest sounding This Is Awesome chant that you will ever hear. So there were people in the crowd who tried. It just didn't work. But this was a physical match, as most of their matches are, especially Dragunov. I mean, I feel like every Ilya Dragunov match, every single time I see him in the ring, I'm trying to think if it happened in the first Raw match he had against Nakamura. That was before the draft. I don't remember, but nearly every match I've ever seen this guy in, he bleeds. Whether it's on his face, his forehead, his mouth, he always bleeds. You know, he wrestles a very physical style. Dragunov dove off the top rope with a knee to Braun's forehead. A barrage of German suplexes by Dragunov hit the trifecta into the near fall. Breakker fought out of a powerbomb attempt with a back body drop. Dragunov lifted Breakker up on his shoulder for a Death Valley driver into the bottom turnbuckle. And with Breakker stunned in the corner, Dragunov went to the apron on the opposite side of the ring. He was going to go coast to coast like he was Shane O'Mac. And he did. He went. He dove off. He delivered a kick to the knee of Breakker on the way down. Then he gets in the ring. He goes up to the top rope, hits a huge... This was like an Akira Tozawa, because he gets an incredible height on it when he does it. Huge diving senton off the top rope with all of his weight down on Bron Breakker. Still not enough to put Bron Breakker away. Dragunov gets a full head of speed now and nearly gets decapitated by a vicious Steinerline by Bron Breakker, which is what he called it, Michael Cole, a Steinerline. He tried for the spear. He got stopped by a rising knee from Dragunov, who caught Breakker with that, followed that with that diving H-bomb, the forearm smash on the mat. Looked like he stunned him. The action spills outside. Dragunov boots Breakker over the announce desk. Then he climbs on top of the announce desk, and he tries to suplex Breakker. Breakker, though, reverses it and suplexes Dragunov down right on the edge of the table, ribs first. So then he climbs down, Breakker picks him up, he drops Dragunov ribs first over the top part of the barricade by the timekeeper's area. And I'm like, okay, here we go, right? They're over by the timekeeper's area. He's going to start, you know, threatening Samantha Irvin because he's, you know, he's like a wild bull, this guy, and Samantha's all, it's going to be something with Samantha and Ricochet is going to come out, right? So this is what I'm thinking. Didn't work out that way, though. He picks him back up, slams Dragunov back first into the ring post casing. In the ring, somehow, Dragunov is still trying to fight back. So he cuts him in half with this wicked spear. Dragunov has enough sense, though, to roll to the floor, so Bron was not able to pin him. So he goes outside instead, and he bulldozes through this man with a second spear out on the floor. Referee Eddie Orengo, he starts laying down the count. He got all the way up to 9. Dragunov was able to drag himself back into the ring, barely. And then Breakker killed him with a third spear and finally pinned him. So Ilya Dragunov may have lost, but it took 3 spears. And honestly, I would even go as far as to say it felt like he dominated the match. It was at least 50-50. But Dragunov looked great. And again, it took everything that Breaker had to finally put this guy away. It's not like he ran him over like he's been running over other people on this show. This was one hell of a war, and this crowd here in Toledo did not deserve this match. This match was a lot of fun, and when it was over, Braun was about to leave, but he looks back, and he sees Dragunov outside the ring, and he's pulling himself up, you know, using the barricade. And he leaves the ring, and he's going to circle around, and he's going to charge, and it looks like he's going to spear this man through the barricade. Before he could get anywhere near Ilya Dragunov, though, and the way they shot this, it really looked like he came from out of nowhere, like he came out of the sky. He obviously jumped off the barricade, ricochet out of the crowd, off the barricade, through the air, takes out Braun Breaker, clotheslines him down to the ground. After Braun got up, Ricochet caught him with a dropkick, knocked him over the barricade and into the crowd, and then he went over to check on his buddy, Ilya Dragunov. And I'm sitting here going, he lived. He actually survived. Then I saw what time it was. It was the top of the hour. I think it was 10 p.m.? I think it was the top of the 10 p.m. hour. And I'm like, okay, we have another hour before he dies. I was thinking maybe they would save it for the end of the show, but it makes sense they would have ended with McIntyre and Balor. We got another Judgment Day segment in the back. They are, let me tell you something, all these, the number of Judgment Day segments on these shows the last several weeks, they are starting to rival the Learning Tree on Dynamite with the number of segments that they've had.
With a tear in my eye!
Yeah, I'll have tears in my eyes on Wednesday night when I have to talk about TV time with the Learning Tree. So, yet another segment with the Judgment Day. They were all discussing Liv Morgan and the hotel key card that she left behind for Dominic, which was on the table. So I guess they found it. So it's sitting on the table in front of them, and they're all standing around this little table. So they all called the card evil. Priest said that he trusted Dominic to take care of business, and he put his foot down. You know, he will put his foot down related to Liv Morgan. While they were all speaking, sly guy that he is, Finn Balor takes his hand, grabs the card, and swipes it off the table and puts it in his pocket. Never even looked down, just in one motion, takes the card, pockets it. This guy knows what's up. This guy knows what's going on here. He knows what he has to do. Backstage, we have Sheamus, who walks up to Drew McIntyre, his old buddy. He says, look, no, we haven't been seeing eye to eye lately, but he encouraged him to take the title on Saturday. He mentioned Ludwig Kaiser entering Money in the Bank, and he said he wants to do the same. McIntyre told him to at least give him a heads up if he's going to cash in on him. And Sheamus said that it would be just like old times. You know, if he does, it'll be just like old times with banger after banger after banger. That's what Finn Balor is going to be doing tonight. I like that even though McIntyre is a heel and Sheamus is a babyface now, that they could still interact like normal human beings and be civil to each other and friendly with each other. And McIntyre doesn't just turn on him or ambush him. You know, because that's wrestling, and that's what wrestlers do. They can't be trusted. I like that. Seems like a simple thing, but I like that. I'll tell you what I don't like. Awesome Truth. I'm so fucking done with this. I mean, I was done with this 2 weeks after WrestleMania. I wanted Truth to get his moment in the ladder match of WrestleMania. I wanted him to get the big payoff on the Judgment Day. That was when I thought we were going to get a straight-up tag team match and he could pin Damian Priest and win the titles for his team and everybody would be so happy for R-Truth. And then a few weeks later, they could drop the belts to somebody else. Here we are now. We are over two months removed from WrestleMania. They are still the World Tag Team Champions and I am done with it. I am just every week, I'm waiting for them to drop these belts to anybody. And I thought tonight was going to be the night. They were defending against AOP. Prior to the match, the Final Testament were asked about AOP's upcoming match, and Karrion Kross, who shaved his Fu Manchu, his handlebar mustache, now he looks, you know, he looks like a regular person now. Not quite the Hitman Codename 47 look he was rocking in TNA, which I still think is his best look. But he was talking about the New Day, and he was directly addressing Xavier Woods. He's trying to get Woods to see the light, that Kofi Kingston is not your friend. He's going to turn on you. You should join with us. So he's got a message to Woods. He says, maybe once AOP win the tag titles, he'll realize that he may be better suited for the Final Testament, especially after how Kofi Kingston supposedly abandoned him. AOP had the upper hand as they went to a very quick commercial break. They were a minute into the match here, right to commercial. Miz was in trouble as Akam tried to stop him from tagging Truth. Then Truth, though, entered the match and hit the John Cena tribute set on Akam. Rezar got thrown over the top rope as Miz and Truth tried to go for the double five-knuckle shuffle. Scarlett's distraction allowed Karrion Kross to pull them both down. Here comes Karrion Kross. I was going to say Karrion Kross. Too many Ks now. Karrion Kross, Kofi Kingston. So we had Kofi Kingston, there we go, and Xavier Woods come running out. They immediately bum rush Karrion Kross. They start beating him up outside the ring. While this is going on, the referee is distracted. Everybody is distracted, but you got AOP in the ring, and they're trying to win the tag team titles, and I'm sitting here hoping. I am actually hoping, me, for AOP to win the tag team titles. I'm like praying for a title change here. So they've got Akam in the ring, and Miz rolls him up. There was a failed attempt to hit him with one of the tag team belts. Miz rolls up Akam, and he gets the flash pin. And Miz and R-Truth, they retain their tag team titles. I'm just done with the Awesome Truth stuff. You know, and them walking around with the titles, and, you know, it's just a total comedy act. They want to do comedy, let them do comedy. But this is why they split the titles. There have been so many examples of why, you know, I was right going into WrestleMania. Everybody was so excited. Oh, you know, one team is going to pull down one set of belts, and then the other one's going to pull down another set of belts. Yeah, I knew that too. And I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. Look at what we have every week. There are not enough solid, legitimate teams to have two sets of tag team titles and keep things interesting. They should have kept the belts unified. It's like the women's tag titles are allowed to float between Raw and SmackDown. They should have kept it the exact same way until they get their tag team division overall in a position where you can actually have two distinctly different sets of tag team title belts. There was no reason to do it, because now we have the tag belts as a comedy act on Monday nights. It's not much better on Fridays. It's a little bit better. Even Waller and Theory are doing comedy half the time. But at least it's a little bit better than what we have here on Raw. My guess is DIY are going to end up with those belts on SmackDown very soon. But, this is just fucking terrible. I'm sorry. This is awful. And the Final Testament isn't much better. Yeah, I was going to give it time. It just was a fucking flat line on SmackDown. So then they got traded to Raw, which I figured, okay, that might be the only shot they have. Trade them over to the other show, fresh coat of paint, different show, different night. Maybe it doesn't make a difference. Maybe it does. At least they have a story. They have this ongoing story with the New Day. I don't really care about the story. It's not doing anything for me. The Final Testament is a dead end. It's not going anywhere. But I was still rooting for AOP to win the tag team titles. I don't even know at this point who Truth and Miz would drop the belts to. The Creeds. I guess it would be the Creeds. But they have to go heel first. Because the last few matches they've had, the Creeds have lost. So the Creeds, there you go. That's the answer. Once we get the heel turn with the Creeds, they get those tag belts, Gable gets the Intercontinental title, it's perfect. Sooner they do that, the better. I completely forgot about the Creeds. It feels like WWE has, too, over the last couple of months. Don't it feel that way? Backstage, Ricochet was helping Ilya Dragunov up, trying to stand up. He was having a lot of trouble. Bron Breakker, out of nowhere, spears Dragunov into one of the equipment cases. Breakker and Ricochet, they fight their way out into the parking lot. And I'm thinking, oh man, this ain't going to end well for Ricochet. They're in the parking lot. He's going to run this man down Rikishi style. He's going to run this man down in cold blood. And Ricochet is going to take a bump like Jerry Lawler did when Doug Gilbert ran him down in that angle in the USWA. He took a hell of a bump in that parking lot. Ricochet was going to do the same thing here. I was convinced. They're fighting outside. Breakker picks him up over his shoulder. And he lawn darts this man into the side of what I believe was the production truck. But it was one of their giant trucks. Hulk Hogan's face and Jimmy Hart's face. Even on a truck, Hulk Hogan cannot go anywhere without Jimmy Hart. So he lawn darts this guy into the truck. Now, you hear of somebody being lawn darted into the side of a truck, you think immediately of Rey Mysterio being lawn darted by Kevin Nash during that great angle that they did in WCW back in 96 with the NWO, which they actually showed footage of that and talked about that on that very first episode on Vice last week of Who Killed WCW. They showed that angle. This was actually even more brutal in this way. Because not only did he lawn dart Ricochet into the side of the truck, but he had quite a distance to fall after he dropped, and he made a thud when he hit the concrete. So I actually think Ricochet may have taken a worse, I say worse, not to say the bump was, you know, looked bad, it looked great, but he may have taken a worse spill than Ray did, I think, for poor Ricochet here. So he made a thud, and he was going overboard with all the moaning. You should have heard. I wish I would have clipped it. You should have heard the moans that were coming out of this. He was moaning. I mean, the sounds. We're going to hear those sounds in the hotel room, in Liv's hotel room tonight, her and Balor. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of moaning coming from that room as we speak. So Breakker picks him up off the ground, and he proceeds to walk up. There were steps. That's why I think it was the production truck. Walk up some of the steps to the truck, turns around, and we see a car conveniently parked right there. He proceeds to hit a power slam off the steps, and he puts Ricochet nearly through the windshield. Real glass! And the windshield shatters, and now Ricochet is, he's moaning. He's laying there, and he's moaning. That's what Samantha hears every night, says Chris. Oh, hey, good for him, man. Good for him. Ricochet's winning. He's winning in life. So he's laying in the windshield. He's moaning. Referees and agents come over. There's no Adam Pearce because he wasn't on the show tonight at all. They said he wasn't there. But they come out and they're trying to get help now for Ricochet, get medics. They're trying to get Bron Breakker away from him. Ricochet is telling them, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. He's telling them he can't breathe. So, you know, he played his part to a hilt. As far as all the moaning is concerned. And I said it at the beginning of the review. Look, if you are going to go out, that's the way you do it. You do it with a big angle like this. Some people are going to look at this and think that he was buried on the way out, or they're somehow punishing him. You're looking at it all wrong. Like, it wouldn't even surprise me if it was Ricochet's idea. I'm not saying it was, but like, this is what you want to do. You want to, it's no different than somebody who is leaving the territory and is going to go out and do a job, and they're going to go out on their back. That's how it happens in a lot of places. That's how it happens traditionally. It's the same thing here. He did a job. It just wasn't in the ring. It was in the parking lot, and he went above and beyond and took a couple of big bumps that were very memorable. And in doing so, it puts over Bron Breakker as an even bigger monster than he was coming into tonight. So why not use it to elevate the new guy on the roster and give him that much more credibility, make him that much more of a scarier force? It's exactly what I would have done. That's exactly the type of angle that you do with this person who has been part of an ongoing story with these people It's not like this just came out of nowhere. He's been feuding with Dragunov and Bron Breakker now for weeks. It's exactly the way I would have expected it to be paid off. So I thought it was great. Now, they weren't done yet with the angle, because after the break, they showed a replay of what happened, including the reaction of Samantha Irvin, who, of course, is Ricochet's fiance. She's the ring announcer. She's at ringside. She's watching on the Tron. So we saw her reaction. They come back live, and she was out in the parking lot with him as he was being loaded on a stretcher into the back of a waiting ambulance. And she was in tears. And she's telling them, I want to go with him. She climbs into the back of the ambulance, and they turn the sirens on, and off goes the ambulance to the local medical facility. And that is our parting shot of Ricochet for the final time on WWE television. A well-done angle, and credit to Samantha Irvin, because she turned the waterworks on, and, you know, she played her part well. I'm actually happy they brought her into it. They've openly acknowledged on the show that, you know, she's his fiance. It's not like it's some big secret that they've never talked about before. It would have been weird for them to do a major heavy injury angle with Ricochet, and then the very next segment, she's out there going, Ludwig Kaiser, or something like that. I mean, it would have been fucking ridiculous. So, of course, she has to react to it and be emotional. I mean, imagine if the shoe was on the other foot, and they did an angle with the women. And let's say I'm the ring announcer and my fiance is taken out by Rhea Ripley and she's being loaded into an ambulance in the back. And the very next segment, I'm out there and I'm fucking dancing with Kofi and Woods when they come out and I'm introducing the New Day like nothing happened, right? That would be stupid. That would be stupid. And the engagement would be called off. So it made all the sense in the world to include her in this. It made the angle even better because of it. So I thought they did a very good job. And just to kind of tie things up here with Rick O'Shea, I think that he's going to kill it wherever he goes. He's going to be doing independence. He's going to be in demand. And he's going to end up in AEW. He's going to end up wrestling Will Ospreay. We could very well be seeing Will Ospreay and Ricochet at Wembley Stadium if Will Ospreay is not challenging for the world title in the main event, which he should be. But if there was going to be any other match for him on that show, provided Ricochet is a free man by then, I mean, there's your Wembley match, right? We just don't know the exact date that his contract expires. The only thing we know is that it expires this summer. That could be at any point this month, next month, or August, or technically even September, right? Because summer, technically, you want to be real technical about it. Summer doesn't end until the third week of September. We just don't have an exact date, but now look, I hope Ricochet kills it. I hope he goes and works with the people he wants to work with and shows people, you know, who he really is, because we have been getting Ricochet at 50-60% of what he is capable of in WWE. And even a 50 or 60% Ricochet is an incredible performer. So imagine the things that he will do now that he is free to his own devices to go out and work the way that he wants to work. And I know that for some people, that's just not their style. They don't like it. No, that's video game wrestling. I feel that way sometimes. You know, there are matches like that that I watch, and I also kind of roll my eyes. I'm like, what is this? You know, it feels like a routine. And then there are other times where I'll watch certain guys do it, and it's great. You know, it's just a matter of personal taste. But I said it, you know, on the podcast yesterday. Sometimes you have to bet on yourself. 35 years old he is now. And maybe there are certain things he just can't do anymore, you know, that he used to pull out every now and then in his younger days. You know, he's only going to get older. There's going to be things he's not able to do anymore, but if he feels like these are the last really great years of his career where he can still pull off matches like the ones he used to have with Ospreay and other people, then it's now or never. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to lock yourself into a 5-year contract and when you're 40, be like, oh, you know what? I think it's time for me to go work with all these guys and work that crazy style. Like, this is it. You know what? It's now or never. It's not like he's not going to get paid. I was floored by all the people who were like, oh, he's not going to leave because He's engaged to Samantha Irvin, as if these people have never heard of spouses or partners or significant others working for different companies. Who knew? I mean, I know the life and schedule of a pro wrestler is very different than your average job, certainly, with all the travel, but they're going to be fine. And I doubt very seriously that that was the predominant decision in ultimately the choice that he made. I'm sure it factored in there to some degree, but at the end of the day, if he was happy and satisfied and fulfilled in WWE, he would not have been murdered by Bron Breakker tonight. The fact that he was and that he is leaving tells you everything you need to know. And the only thing to say is good luck, Ricochet. I look forward to seeing where he lands and what he does. So, what that also means is we were without a ring announcer for the main event of the show, which was Drew McIntyre against Finn Balor. That is the perfect sound effect for Ricochet on this show. Hey, M. Mills, could not have come in at a better moment. Thank you for the $15. They should have played that on TV the minute he got put through that windshield or lawn darted into that truck. I would have fucking died if I would have heard that. That would have been perfect. So the stipulation here. If McIntyre wins, the Judgment Day is banned from ringside at Clash at the Castle this Saturday against Damian Priest. But if Balor wins, then the Judgment Day can come out and they can stay at ringside in Scotland. Pat McAfee got up on top of the announce desk. He served as the designated ring announcer. Didn't do a half bad job either. Didn't do too badly. McIntyre hit a belly-to-belly suplex to Balor outside the ring ahead of the final commercial break. That looked ridiculous. Balor bounced off that top cover of the announce desk and did like almost a total flip over the desk. They even replayed it going into the commercial. Late in the match, McIntyre went for a Claymore kick that Balor stuffed with a sling blade. Balor hit a couple of shotgun drop kicks and went up top for the double stomp. McIntyre got up, though, and he headbutted Balor, then superplexed him and covered him for a two count. McIntyre hit the Future Shock DDT and set up for the Claymore when Damian Priest walked out. He got up on the apron. So behind the referee's back now with him distracted, Carlito's out there, JD McDonagh is out there. They got taken out by McIntyre one by one. Balor rolled up Drew for two. Balor hit another sling blade and then a shotgun drop kick. McIntyre avoided the double stomp off the top and then hit a Claymore kick and scored the pin. Good stuff from these two, and that means that the Judgment Day is now officially banned from ringside and Collision. CM Punk says they are banned from Collision. But they are banned from ringside now for the main event on Saturday in Scotland, which also now has me thinking, well, that just upped the chances of CM Punk getting involved and screwing. I mean, he's going to be involved anyway, but successfully being involved and screwing Drew McIntyre out of his second world championship on his second consecutive Clash at the Castle. Solo Sikoa fucked him the first time. CM Punk is going to fuck him the second time. The chances of that just went up exponentially with the Judgment Day being banned. Because it's just hard to imagine now that not happening. I'm not saying it will. I'm just more conflicted now in what that finish is going to be than I was 24 hours ago. Yeah, because with the Judgment Day out there, I thought that McIntyre pulls it out. Even if Punk gets involved or tries to get involved, he's going to pull it out. He's going to win the title. And then maybe Punk screws him out of it at Money in the Bank. So McIntyre gets his moment, but it only lasts a few weeks. He drops it back to Priest in Toronto, and it puts more heat on Punk and McIntyre for SummerSlam, if that's the match, because that match doesn't need the title. You know, it could be for the title, but you're going to bring back CM Punk coming off of yet another significant injury and immediately vault him into a World Heavyweight Championship match? That just seems very dangerous to me. And it seems unnecessarily rushed. You know, Punk has not been a champion in WWE for over a decade. I think that there's a story there that you can tell without rushing him into a World Heavyweight Championship match. Now, he would have had one at WrestleMania this year, but it would have been built up properly. It just doesn't feel to me like that first match, at least the first one between McIntyre and Punk, needs to be for the title. The only thing is, and this is what I was alluding to at the beginning of the stream, the one thing that has me, you know, thinking that McIntyre is still going to win, if Drew McIntyre goes in there and gets screwed over by CM Punk and does not win the World Heavyweight title, is Triple H really going to put four Scots on this show in Scotland and have all four of them lose? We've got McIntyre in the main event. We've got Piper Niven, who I don't see beating Bayley for the women's title. And we have Alba Fire and Isla Dawn going for the tag team titles. Now, I do think there's a chance that we could see Alba and Isla walk out with those titles. I'm still thinking Jade and Bianca are going to win. I would not put it past them, though, to give them a feel-good moment and then have Jade and Bianca win them right back. And really, no harm, no foul, because Shayna Baszler put Alba Fire to sleep on this show tonight and kept that hold, you know, locked on for an extra 10 seconds. She put a little something extra on that. Alba and Isla, if they return the favor and pin Zoe Stark, or if Alba pins Shayna Baszler, Bianca and Jade lose the belts without having to take the pin. And then a week later, if they win the belts back, or a Money in the Bank, if they win the belts back, who cares, right? It's fine. It doesn't hurt them at all. But I still don't see it happening. So if Alba and Isla lose and Piper Niven loses and Drew McIntyre loses, you know, I could see Vince McMahon doing that. But is Triple H really going to have all the Scots walk out as losers on that show? I find that very hard to believe. So I still think Drew McIntyre is likely to walk out as the World Heavyweight Champion. And even if he does, I still don't think he's walking into SummerSlam as the World Heavyweight Champion. Not to defend against Gunther. I just don't see it. I really don't. But we'll see. We'll see how things play out on Saturday at Clash at the Castle, which I will be watching, not live, because I'm not going to be here. But I will be checking it out later that night and talking about it on the podcast probably next Sunday. Let us take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of Raw?
Do you feel him, sir?
Oh, I feel him, sir. Liv Morgan feels him. The only question is, which one? Is it Dom or is it Balor? I don't know. I'm not in that hotel room, so I don't know. What did you think of the final Raw before Clash at the Castle? 65% thumbs up for this show tonight. 23.6% thumbs in the middle. And 11.5% thumbs down. Those are the results so far. That is a thumbs up from all of you for Monday Night Raw. Not the strongest episode of Raw, but the Ricochet thing was very well done. And the Bron Breakker Ilya Dragunov match, it's, despite the quiet crowd, I think that it's worth going and checking that match out. I greatly enjoyed that match. Let's take a look at your super chats here. And I say thank you to everybody who has dropped the dono tonight. You guys are awesome. Let's go back to the very beginning here to Tommy Colella with a $10 super chat. Hey, Tommy, thank you, man. I don't know about you, but when Joseph said Booker T... Oh, Vic, he's talking about the NXT show last night. When Vic Joseph said, Booker, it's Dana, I mean Ash by Elegance, I laughed hard. Thank you for all that you do. Got me through the loss of my mother in January and my brother Johnny 2 years ago. Well, brother, I'm sorry for your losses, and I'm very happy that the show has been able to be an escape for you. I like hearing that. Yes, that was, and I went off on that in the NXT review. I'm like, I'm watching this match with Jordynne Grace and Roxanne Perez, and now I'm talking about the match, and then I'm like, I look up and I see fucking Dana Brooke is on my screen in the middle of what is supposed to be this momentous match, this cross-promotional champion versus champion match. First time this has been done like this in WWE with TNA and NXT. And I'm looking up and I see, oh, it's Ash by Elegance coming out to crickets at the UFC Apex. What a moment. What a moment that was. Yes, he nearly slipped. He didn't say Dana. He was like, duh. Then he stopped himself. Forza Ferrari 90 with the $5 super chat. Watching the Strowman Express gives everyone brain damage. Make it stop. No, I think watching the Learning Tree gives everybody brain damage more than the Strowman Express. Bobby's World with the $10 super chat. Bobby. Remember when Brock was feuding with Bobby Lashley? Bobby. Kept calling him Bobby. It's like when Brock was in the UFC. Oh, gosh. Who was it that he was feuding with? Oh, fuck. Who was it? He was, like, mispronouncing the guy's name. Oh, I forgot who it was. It was so funny. I always laughed every time he would say his name. And I the name just popped out of my head. And I don't remember who it was. But that's what Brock used to do. He would kind of make fun of people's names. But Bobby says, want to shout out you and everyone in the chat that wished me a happy birthday on Friday. Had to be up at 7 a.m. so I was fast asleep, as I probably will be when this super chat shows up. LOL, much love. Well, you're very welcome, and another very happy belated birthday to Bobby. The real CSO2 with the $4.99. Do you think there's any ill will towards Ricochet for leaving? I don't think so. I'm sure they respect and admire his decision to leave. Yeah, no, I wouldn't think that there's any heat. You know, it's a situation where his deal is up and he wants to take his talents elsewhere. You know, by all accounts, he's been the model employee, even though they're technically not employees. And I think it would be foolish for him to have heat because he's leaving. Stupid. You know, he's going from one job to another. And very likely one day we'll be back. Because everybody eventually comes back. So no, I wouldn't expect that there's any heat. Bobby. Well, you like that, Will, huh? We got Give Me Back Shots, Sala Monster. I was going to make another hotel room joke, but I won't. Number one, do you think Tony Khan would have booked New Jack in a match? Yes. Tony Khan was a huge ECW fan. If he could get New Jack in a match, he would have got... I mean, he got Nick Gage in a match on Dynamite with a pizza cutter. You don't think he wouldn't have used New Jack? Question is, would New Jack have worked for Tony Khan? I'm sure for the right amount of money, he would have. And number two, Oba Femi is a generational prospect. He's slightly above Braun. Buy all your Oba stocks. Yeah, I talked about Oba Femi in the Battleground review. I gave my thoughts on him last night and what I think about him and who he reminds me of. But he is one of their top prospects for sure. He was very impressive. He has that raw power. He's very impressive in that match last night. Owen Curtis, just throwing this out there, loser of Clash's I Quit match leaves SmackDown. AJ loses and trades with Gunther, who then faces Cody at SummerSlam. I don't see it, because why would Gunther want to leave? Is there a reason why he would want to leave Raw? Does he leave Ludwig Kaiser behind? I don't know why he would want to leave Raw. Unless it's not up to him and it's just the GMs. But, I mean, all due respect to AJ Styles, if AJ is going to be traded to Raw in exchange for somebody else, Raw is getting a guy who can't win on the big stage, and they're willing to give away one of their best talents. Like, it wouldn't even make sense. I also don't like it because it would seem to me that if Gunther went to SmackDown and beat Cody for the title, you've now taken away the Cody Randy Orton story that would be foolish not to do for the championship. But you're also forgetting the fact that Cody is going to have that title when Rock comes back. And if they put the title on Gunther, he's going to get a long run with it. They're not going to put the WWE title on him. I just don't see it. Not right now. If he's going to get a world title, it's going to be the world heavyweight title. I think they're going to leave Cody alone for the time being. Daniyasu. Watching Dom like it should have been me, not him. I'm sure there are a lot of people saying that. Prince Vegeta 95, adios to Ricochet, the greatest speed champion in company history. See you on Rampage or Explosion in a few months. Well, hey, if that's what makes him happy, then more power to him. That's the one thing I will say. If you have people who are expecting that Ricochet is going to go to AEW and his ceiling is going to be so much higher than it was in WWE, it's not. He's going to end up more or less in the same spot. There'll be that initial splash. There'll be the match with Ospreay. He'll feud with maybe, you know, some couple big guys. But I hope people don't have this image in their head that, you know, he's going to go work for Tony Khan and he's going to be on top and he's going to be a world champion. I see him being in the same spot that he's in now. But at least he'll have the freedom to work other places if he wants to, maybe even New Japan. And work with different people. So, you know, you don't have to be the world champion to go somewhere and be successful and be happy. I just hope people keep things in perspective here and don't think that it's going to be like a totally new situation for Ricochet where he's finally appreciated and pushed as the top star that we all know he is and can be. Yeah. I'd pump the brakes on that. Donnie also says, Priest is probably holding that title until SummerSlam. Drew is getting screwed again. That sucks. He is doing excellent work, and he deserves to be rewarded. He's going to be rewarded with one of the feature matches on SummerSlam this year. He's going to be wrestling CM Punk. So I think Drew is going to be okay. Drew, we know Drew is locked in. Drew's got a new long-term deal. If Drew doesn't become the world heavyweight champion soon, he'll be champion again at some point. I guarantee it. Drew McIncock, speaking of Drew, says, EO Sky Toes. Thank you, Drew. Jessica Herman. I missed Raw to teach my first painting class tonight, so I will get all the details listening to you tomorrow. Keep up the good work, Solo. Well, good luck with the painting. That's very cool. Thank you, Jessica. Barry MK. With the 23 Row Roman Reigns. Just finished watching the 2005 Bash pay-per-view. The Eddie and Ray match had some of the best storytelling I have ever seen. Also, the JBL Batista match was a boring main event with a lame DQ finish. Yeah, that I remember. That sucked. But Barry, thank you. Thank you for Roman Reigns. Hoffenheim with the 5. Sucks for Ricochet that he won't be more than a mid-card act. Dark Effect with the $50 Gunthar Bomb. Hey, Dark Effect said, best murder in wrestling history? Tonight's was good. It is not the best murder in wrestling history, but I thought it was a very good angle. The best murder in wrestling history has to be Matanza Cueto on Lucha Underground, literally eating another wrestler's face off and killing him. Yeah. Yeah, we saw some shit on Lucha Underground. I miss Lucha Underground. I miss it every day. Jerome Eugenio, doesn't matter what show they are in, AOPP are still geeks. Yes, they are. Certainly were tonight. El Masse with the 12. With the learning tree. Says, we're getting that Swerve versus Ricochet Eliminator match. That's right. We're going to get an Eliminator match on Dynamite. With Swerve, Strickland, and Ricochet. You wait and see. Hoffenheim says, I don't need Uncle Howdy. Well, you may not need Uncle Howdy, but what's BlizzFan going to do? BlizzFan needs Uncle Howdy. Rod of his prime, what a way for Ricochet to go out. At least he got to work with real glass. That said, I am rooting for him post-WWE. I am as well. Oz and Glorious, hit that like button. Thanks, guys. Thank you for the learning tree, Oz and Glorious. Fire Panda with the 20 bucks. Liv calls Dom Daddy, kisses him on TV, gives her card to her hotel room to him, and straddled him, and he still stays loyal. Dom is a better man than I am. I would have folded immediately. I think most people watching this show would have folded immediately. HBKC83, how ridiculous was it to have Steve Austin do or drop Triple H? He didn't do Triple H in his car. Drop Triple H. Actually, you know what? I don't know what they did together. The two-man power trip, who knows? I'm sure they traveled together. They worked out together. They probably did a lot of things together. That's their business. But how ridiculous was it to have Steve Austin drop Triple H in his car from a zillion feet in the air? It was your typical wacky pro wrestling segment. You know, we used to get a lot of that in WWE with cars and trucks and monster trucks and motorcycles. I mean, they love destroying automobiles. Rizzo, Dom is a better man than me. I would have folded like a cheap suit. Hoffenheim, why doesn't Liv Morgan believe? I don't know. When Uncle Howdy debuts, maybe we can find out. Abu Sika with the $69 Bukkake Ghost. The ghost has come out tonight. The ghost from the coast, all the way from the East Coast here, all the way out west, and everything in between. The ghost man, we don't see him very often, but it was good to see him make an appearance tonight. Abu Sika, that is your super chat. It was all you, brother. Thank you very much. Alex with the 22. Brother Solo, how deep do you see this 20 or WWE TNA? Man, this, I have my screen darkened so much. So the light doesn't reflect on me that it's like I'm fucking dyslexic here. How deep do you see this WWE TNA partnership going? Can you see potential main roster talent like Cody or Moose in the other promotion? Cody, no. AJ Styles making a cameo at some point? Yes, I could see that. Right now, it's only NXT. Could it expand? It depends how the relationship goes. It's too early. It just started. Do I think there's the potential for some main roster crossover? Yes, but not on the level of a Cody Rhodes. The WWE champion is not going to appear on a TNA paper. But you know what? Again, they sometimes do those World's End shows. So having some sort of crossover NXT versus TNA show, I think is very possible. Hoffenheim, trust me, I would have paid Liv a visit in her hotel room. And Dom will lose his man card if he does not pay her a visit. He doesn't have the card. Finn Balor has the card. Nothing he can do. Hoffenheim dropping a whole bunch of super chats. Sexy Maxine, look at this guy. Thank you, Hoffenheim. Daniel Malcolm with the $35 Batista skinny jeans. One of my favorites. Jake Jones with the $19.99. Hey, Solo, longtime listener, but first time super chatter. For some reason, I thought the Braun and Ilya match was the main event and was super happy until I realized I had another hour of this. Thanks for making it worth it. Don't you hate that feeling? When you feel you've come to the main event of the show and it's the top of the hour and you realize, fuck, another hour. Tonight was one of those nights. This show should not have been 3 hours. This would have been a fine 2 hour show. 3 hours tonight was pushing it, especially in front of a very quiet audience. Jake, though, thank you, man. First time super chatter, love to see it. Dethronic78, did they turn Drew face from heel, only to turn him heel again in a few days? Did they just turn Drew face from heel? I don't follow. I mean, he's going to be a face no matter what this weekend, but you know, Drew is a heel, but Drew is, you know, it's a little more nuanced than that because Drew feels like he has been screwed over and shortchanged and just finally had enough and took matters into his own hands. And yeah, you think back to when he was feuding with Seth Rollins and how they worked those character changes in there. I like the way they went about doing it. Instead of it just being your traditional wrestling heel turn where just one night he just turns on the other guy. He's a heel, though. I mean, he is a heel. So I'm not sure what if you're referring to the Sheamus segment. I mean, to me, that was just two friends having a chat. And I like that. I like that you can have a heel and a babyface who you know are friendly with each other just in the back having a friendly chat. Crypto and poker. I am in Vegas playing poker, watching Solo. Well, I mean, it fits your name. It's actually pretty cool. You're watching on your phone? He's probably sitting at the table, at the poker table, and he's got his phone, and we are streaming live. I don't know what casino he's in, though. He didn't tell me what casino you're in. Nick Grosso, if you notice, when Finn took the card, he gave Dom a nod and gave him a look like, don't worry, I got it, and Dom smirked. I didn't see the smirk. I had my eye on him swiping that card and putting it in his pocket. That's the only thing I noticed. So, maybe Dom smirked. All I know is that he said he was going to take care of it. Like I said, he's in possession of the card. And that's what we know. Last we saw, he had the card in his pocket. Bleed Boston. When Bianca and Jade Cargill inevitably break up, who do you think turns heel? I personally would rather see it be Jade and have her beat Bianca clean. Yeah, I could see that, but like, Bianca as a heel, though, I just think there's money there. I've been waiting for a Bianca Belair heel turn. I think you're right. I think the more likely of the two would be Jade to go heel. But I really would love to see Bianca get a heel run on the main roster. Nick Grosso with the $9.99. If there is going to be a new member, I can see it being a returning Raquel Rodriguez because she has history with Io and especially Dakota. And to be honest, I am done with Smiley Raquel. I don't know. Raquel and Damage Control? I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling that. I'm not a big fan of that. Dark Effect. How much more NXT WWE TNA crossover do you think we'll get? I also really look forward to seeing what Obafemi does in the future. Too early to tell. Again, they just started working together. Now, we're probably going to see an NXT talent or two on the Against All Odds pay-per-view next weekend. My guess is it's going to be Tatum Paxley and Ash by Elegance. I hate that name. Probably a triple threat because Jordan Grace has an open challenge for the Knockouts title at the event next weekend. Tatum Paxley is infatuated with the Knockouts title. She's a lower card member of the NXT roster who can go in there and lose. But I wonder if the reason we saw Dana Brooke get involved in that angle last night is because they're going to insert her into it as well. It's a triple threat. And that way, they don't have to beat Tatum Paxley. And Jordan Grace can actually pin Ash by Elegance. I think that would be so fucking lame. You know, the TNA Knockouts champion goes in there last night and loses to the NXT Women's Champion. And then you can't return the favor by having one of your, you know, kind of middle of the card names in NXT go to the other show and do a job. I would hope Tatum Paxley can go to TNA and do a job to Jordan Grace. But if not, I don't think that speaks very highly to this relationship that they have with NXT. The Juliet with the 1992. Dax Harwood just tweeted, that FTR are off AEW for a while Dax deals with a lower body hematoma that he apparently got in that pile driver in the FTR Young Bucks match at Dynasty. Well, I'm glad you gave me the update because he has me blocked. So, cool. M. Mills, thank you for the 15. The average grunt with the $7. What do you think should be the bare minimum for championship reigns in regards to length and number of successful defenses? For me, 100 days with 2 to 3 solid defenses sounds about right. I don't have a set criteria for it. I think it's foolish to have a set criteria for it. Every reign is different. It depends on the creative. It depends on what the story is, where that performer is headed. Sometimes it's appropriate to win the title one night and drop it the next. Hold it for 24 hours. Kane had the WWE title for 24 hours. I would hate to think that there has to be a minimum number of days that, you know, most people have to have the title for. Some people are going to be champion for 3 weeks. Some people are going to be champion like Roman Reigns for 3 years. It all depends on the story. So I don't think there should be any set criteria at all. Offenheim says Justin Timberlake would be proud. Cry me a river. Alex says, does today's crowd reaction further solidify the case that WWE should do even more international shows? No, I mean, it's one week of television. I don't think it doesn't reflect anything. If you're talking specifically about tonight's crowd, I mean, tonight's crowd was terrible. But does that mean that, what do you think they're going to do? Raw is going to run internationally because they had one bad crowd in Toledo, Ohio? I mean, they're already doing more international shows now than they ever have. I think they just need to keep doing what they're doing. Offenheim, maybe WWE can invite Sir Alex Ferguson, and Scotland will be a huge party if they win against Germany on Friday in the European Championship. You know, that's a good point. I heard about that, and I didn't realize that was coming up at the end of the week. Face Beerus, look at Lashley, Drew, and Cody. Maybe Ricochet returns in 3 to 5 years with some serious hype and momentum and gets another chance at a main event run. Absolutely. I mean, there are guys, and Drew is a great example of it. And Lashley. Although Lashley, it was his decision to leave. That was a whole different situation. Drew got let go, you know, and he went and he completely reinvented himself and came back a bigger name than he was when he left. Who's to say Ricochet doesn't come back in 3 years or 4 years or 5 years? Is he going to be a bigger name? I would hope so, but yeah, it's certainly possible. Guys have done it before. Alex, do you think the 3 Stages of Hell match stipulation would work in today's era? How would you book such a stipulation in Triple H's era? I mean, you book it the way that it was booked the first time. At 3 Stages of Hell could absolutely work. I wouldn't necessarily use the exact same stipulations, you know, that they did when Triple H wrestled Steve Austin or when Triple H wrestled Shawn Michaels, right? Because it was a ladder match. I think it was a regular match, a ladder match, and a cage match, right? Or a cage match and then a ladder match. Yeah, I mean, 3 Stages of Hell could absolutely work. Pick whatever stipulations that you think are appropriate. Depends on the feud. You know, if it's a heated feud, like take Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, for example. You can blow off Punk and McIntyre down the road in a 3 Stages of Hell match if you wanted to, you know, and have a cage match stipulation or a last man standing stipulation to close it out. So it really depends on the feud, but there's no reason it can't work in today's day. No reason for it. AJ Files with the $5. Hey, Fire Panda, I think that would be a great idea. He said, what about Ricochet in the G1? I think that'd be great. AJ Files, big fan. Can I email you a wrestling highlight reel that I made? I graduated with a degree in film and want to put it towards wrestling. Too sweet, bro. Too sweet, bro. Of course you could email me. TheSolomonster@gmail.com. Josiah Ball, thank you for the five, Josiah. I hope you're having a great night. Thank you for the love. Project Libertad, did you see Tanahashi's 10-step plan to save New Japan? Not only did I see it, I did an entire segment about it on episode 865 of the podcast. So you should check that out because I had a lot of thoughts on each of the 10 steps. So it's on the podcast right now. You will be happy to know. Hey, Daniel Malcolm just gifted 5 channel memberships to Kyle West and Terrence Toussaint, Bliss Fan, Britton Milhouse, and Belle Israel are all channel members, which means you have access to my NXT Battleground review. So make sure you go back and check that out. Face Beerus says, Team Rhea or Liv, choose wisely. Well, I'm going Team Rhea. That's where I'm going. Rizzo with the $20. I think this murder was better because it's building a new star, but remember when Christian was murdered by the Main Event Mafia? Great segment. Also, will be interesting if Starks is written off AEW soon or just shows up in NXT. I don't know that he'll be written off. I think Tony Khan has a tendency to just stop using people. But it depends how much time is left on Ricky's deal. You know, if he's got 6 months left, is he going to sit home for 6 months? You know, I'm not under the impression his deal is up anytime soon. So I'm not really sure what he's planning on doing with him. Chris Faplander. Never happy unless we fappy. Words to live by. Dixie Normus, Liv Morgan Feet, rest in peace, Rumpelmane, wherever he is. I think the odor may have knocked him out. You know, all he always used to talk about his feet. Probably passed out, hit his head on the coffee table. He's probably still laying there. Rigor mortis has set in, decomposing on the floor. It's awful. Rest in peace, Rumpelmane. Rizzo, especially after that WrestleMania 39 entrance she did, I don't think they will ever turn Bianca heel. I think she is the female Cena. I think you may be right. I think they don't want to turn her heel. I'm just saying I think she's got that heel run in her. Just like Cena. I felt Cena had a heel run still in him. And he did too. That's why he went out and had new music made. He had new gear made after WrestleMania 28. And then Vince McMahon said, nah, on second thought, we're not going to turn you heel. OM too cool. Dax has fallen off hard. To block Solo, though, shaking my head. I don't know, man. I don't know that I don't think I ever said anything to him on there, but he's a sensitive guy. He also, whenever he posts videos that I've seen, bears a striking resemblance when he puts the glasses on to Lance Storm. Which is not, it's not an insult or anything, it's just an observation. Chris Mikesell, which was Undertaker's worst WrestleMania match? Giant Gonzalez, King Kong Bundy, Bossman, or the handicap match at WrestleMania 19? At least Bossman hanging was a cool visual. You know, Undertaker himself, I know, rightly shits on anything involving Giant Gonzalez. But at least with Giant Gonzalez, like, I kind of feel it was a spectacle to see Undertaker in there with somebody that much bigger than him. The Bundy match just fucking sucked. I mean, WrestleMania 11 in general sucked. But that match with Bundy was just, it was just ass. I'd put that at the top of the list. We're being honest. Boney, Samantha was crying because she knows her man he's missing a word here. I think he means hit a branch in the learning tree. Oh, yeah. How long before Ricochet is sitting under the learning tree? It's a good question. Hoffenheim, Solo, you rock, brother. Bianca said she doesn't want to turn heel because of young black girls. She wants to be a role model. Well, there you go. There's your answer. So Jade Cargill will go heel. And Rizzo, I am blocked by Wade Barrett for some reason. You know what I did notice this week, since we're on that subject? I was unblocked by Ryback. I think Ryback went on an unblocking spree and unblocked everybody because I was seeing other people posting the same thing. And I didn't even know. The only reason I knew is someone told me that Ryback unblocked them. And so out of curiosity, I went to go check, and all of a sudden, I could see all of his tweets. Not that I have any interest in doing so, but apparently he went and unblocked everybody that he had previously blocked. So if you were one of those people, you should go check and see. You may, too, be unblocked by Ryback, if you care. Base Beerus says, Boss Man hanging, one of the craziest moments ever. Yeah, the match was no good, but it was a hell of a visual. I'll give them that. I remember watching that going, how the hell did they do that? I still watch it back, and I'm like, man, how did they do that? It's crazy. Thunder Force, why did WWE stop referring to Edge and Christian as brothers when Christian came back in 2009? Because they're not. And I think they knew that most people knew that it wasn't true. So if that's the case, then why bother? Hey, Casey is Raw, one of our Gold Skulls, channel member for 28 months. Casey is Raw. I love it. My cat is a demon with the $6 super chat. This is completely random, but I came across a clip of Vince hosting a talk show back in the 80s. I can't really find info as to what this was or why it was happening. Could you briefly explain? Were you watching an episode of Tuesday Night Titans? What I think you may have seen, the only thing I could think of, is Vince, it might have been a New Year's Eve episode, maybe. David Letterman had him on. And he had Vince in a remote location. I think he was interviewing people. Maybe that's what you were referring to. And he was mocking him. I mean, he was making fun of Vince and everything. But maybe that's what you were thinking of. I don't know. If it was an actual talk show, I don't know what else it would be. Send me the link. OM2 Cool. Thoughts on Edge praising Learning Tree nonsense. I'm not surprised. He's friends with Jericho. He's putting his friend over. He's putting his friend over, and also, you know, Copeland is Mr. AEW, so, you know, he loves working there, he loves being there, he loves everything about it, he loves every story, he loves everything. Everything's great. So, I'm not surprised. Wonder if he unblocked Ross. That's a good question. I wonder if Ryback unblocked Ross. That's a good question. I don't know. That's funny, actually. I don't know, but what I do know is we are closing in on 500 likes. Can we hit it? Can we hit 500 likes before we get out of here? We're at 491. We just need 9 people to get us to 500. So while you do that, let's go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Casey is Raw with the $5 super chat. You too got blocked by Ryback. Well, you better check because you may be unblocked. Apparently Ryback, I guess, was getting very lonely. So he decided, man, I got nobody to talk to. I better go unblock all the people I blocked. All right, we begin with Tag Team Be the Booker. Hey, Kate Love. This became a sound-off superstar. Welcome, Kate. Or Renewed. I see the gold skull. I think Kate's been around for a while. Justin G just gifted a membership to Hoffenheim. Look at that. Hoffenheim's been dropping super chats all night long. He just got gifted a channel membership. I love it. Salute to you as well. I'm an 80s baby, says Salute Solo. So am I. Salute to you. All right, we begin with Paul London and Brian Kendrick. Former tag team champions. I'm losing my voice. Former tag team champions, Paul London and Brian Kendrick. They were a great tag team back in the day. They were never pushed in any kind of serious way. But they were a great team. On SmackDown back then, they're going to be taking on, look at these two, Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre, the former Raw Tag Team Champions. And you know what? That may have been a match that actually happened. I guess they would have been on different brands, but I wonder if that match actually happened. Cody and Drew against London and Kendrick. It'd be a great match, though. Gets the bell from me. All right, women's Be the Booker. Here we go. We begin with Sable, who is a former women's champion. Not a very good one, but a former women's champion. Can't deny how over she was, though. I mean, if you lived through that Monday Night War period, that late 90s period, I mean, she truly was. She was one of the biggest stars in that entire company. Sable is going to go one-on-one with Toni Storm. And honestly, you know what? For marquee value alone, you would have taken 1999 Sable and put her in the ring with Toni Storm. Toni could probably, I think Toni Storm would be one of those people who could probably give Sable a good match. And just the star power in that match, if you take like peak Sable, put her in the ring with Toni Storm. I mean, we're trying to book good matches here, but we're trying to book marquee matches here. That would be a marquee match. There you go. I know Sable automatic buzzer, but something about that match, I think that would be something to promote. All right, men's Be the Booker, which I updated recently, so we got some new things in here. And I don't know where it's going to land. That's part of the fun. Shout out to Spider Sense, Nick Nemeth, not AEW affiliated, also praised the Learning Tree. Good. Well, hey. Not everybody that you like or respect necessarily has a good sense of taste. So. And they're all friends of Jericho. So, again, I would expect nothing different. They've all worked with him. They're all friendly with him. They're not going to turn around and talk about how fucking insufferable it is. Especially when you have it four times on one show. All right, we begin with, oh boy. This is a hell of a way to kick off the main event here of Be the Booker. But we've got Muffin Man Phil. Look at the look that he is giving Tony Khan. If a picture could talk, oh, the things that this image could speak to us. Look at this. So here we go. You know, the thing with Spider Sense is I know he's a big AEW fan. So, you know, with some people, AEW can do no wrong. Tony Khan is infallible. He's great. Everything he does is fantastic. Everything Jericho does is fantastic. It's great. It's wonderful. You know, okay. Just smile and say okay, and then just move on with your day. So we've got the Muffin Man, and he's going to be getting into the ring. We need a drum roll for this. We got the Muffin Man going one-on-one with Hollywood Rock. This is not Final Boss Rock. This is Hollywood Rock, and that means we've got ourselves a clean sweep. CM Punk and The Rock, I mean, we've seen it before, just not this version of The Rock. But we actually did get, we got Rock and Punk twice, actually. Back-to-back pay-per-views, CM Punk did the job for The Rock. But it's good to get a clean sweep. I feel like we haven't gotten one in a few weeks. So that was good. It was good to get that out there. Now we just got to do that for the rest of the week. We got Wednesday, we got Friday. Got to try to pull it off there, too. All right, we got Cameron Spencer. Cameron Spencer. Coming in with a chat here that says, Slasher movie fans can kick rocks. They are bloodthirsty termites who should be ashamed of themselves supporting barbaric movies. All right. Cameron Spencer from the Parents Television Council, perhaps, or the... What organization are you with, Cameron? Cameron Spencer, not a fan of slasher movies? Paul Carpenter, I am currently playing WWE 2K24. I am doing Sting versus the Ministry Undertaker in the WCW Nitro Arena Dream Match. Who wins in real life? The Undertaker. Go Ace. Learning Tree Super Chat now, but no, it's Mariah one. Oh, a Mariah, you want a Mariah May one? Yeah, there's no Mariah May one. Sorry, I mean, can't win them all. Justin G, investing in this Be the Booker card, right? Right? I mean, I think that's a pretty solid card that we put together tonight. I like that card. Rizzo, who debuts first, the new Wyatt family or Jacob Fatu? I think that we are going to get the new Wyatts. If it's going to be next week, I think the Wyatts for sure. I'm not expecting Fatu in Scotland. I mean, where would he debut on that card anyway? So, we'll get the Wyatts first. Dark Effect, we need to convince JD to do Be the Booker on Tuesday. He can't. I have it copyrighted. It's mine. It belongs to me. I could put him in it. I could put him in Be the Booker. But no, Be the Booker is an exclusive here on this channel. Devin from NJ, does Solo agree with Jericho that there is no such thing as botches in wrestling as it comes with doing live performance in one take? No, of course there are botches in wrestling. Botches in everything. Not just wrestling. People botch. They fuck up. It's how you respond to it. It's how you react to it. You know who says that? People who botch. People who botch say, there's no such thing as a botch. I meant to do that. Or it's part of the job. I love that. I just love it. Power Spine Game, Sable versus Tony probably needs a stipulation for me. Well, what stipulation would you propose? We didn't need one, though. I gave it the thumbs up anyway. Didn't Solo debut at Clash at the Castle, though? It could happen. Yes, but what match would you expect him to debut in? He's going to be part of the Bloodline story. There's no Bloodline matches on the card. You've got Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. You've got Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles. And they've given no indication that Cody is going to be feuding again with the Bloodline right now. You've got Sammy and Gable. You've got the women's tag team titles. And you've got Bayley and Piper Niven. So where exactly is Jacob Fatu debuting at Clash at the Castle? It doesn't make any sense. Maybe if there was a Bloodline match of some kind, but where does he even fit in on that card? Bret Hart, channel member for 27 months. You once booked Bret versus JD from New York on Be the Book. I did. But I took him out. I took some people out, like, last year. So he hasn't been in there for a while. We may have to put him back in. Marios with $1.99. Excited for TNT. You and Kevin are the best. Kevin. You and Kevin are the best. All right. I'll be sure to let Kevin know if I figure out who Kevin is. I'm confused. But Marios, thank you. Yes, I will be live tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 8:30 Eastern, over on JD's channel, Tuesday Night Titans. We've got much to discuss. So we will have some fun with that. And the next time I am live with you here on this channel will be Wednesday night for the Dynamite recap. And then, of course, Friday night after SmackDown. No live review for Clash at the Castle this Saturday because I will not be here. I double booked myself that day. I have a commitment. I have some other place to be. So unless I let you know otherwise, I'll likely just cover the show on the podcast next Sunday. And whatever I cover on there, we can upload that to the channel maybe next Sunday night. But I'll keep you guys posted on Twitter about that. At Solomon, so you can follow me on there, on X. And again, if you are a channel member, make sure you check out that Battleground review. It went up yesterday. It's about 26 minutes. If you are not a channel member, now would be a good time to consider becoming one. And thank you to everybody who gifted memberships tonight as well. That is very cool. I appreciate that. So, fun review. I had more fun doing this than watching Raw. It's funny how that works. Be well. Stay safe. I will see you live for TNT tomorrow night. And the Dynamite recap coming up on Wednesday. Rest in peace, Ricochet. We hardly knew ye. I'll see you guys on Wednesday.